just a little background on who I am before we get started and rolling this morning on the message. I've had the privilege and honor of serving as in ministry for almost 15 years now. My wife and I met down at Southeastern Bridal College is what we called it down there, down in Lakeland, Florida. And if you didn't have a ring by spring, there was, for the ladies, you were out of luck. But I met my wife. She was actually dating my roommate. Yeah. And he stopped talking to her. So guess who swooped in? This guy right here. And so we actually connected via MySpace. Remember MySpace in here? Come on. I'm throwing an old throwback right there. I'm not embarrassing you too much, Emma, babe. Okay, good. So anyway, we started dating. We dated about 18 months, got married, and then we got three boys, and they are a handful, and we will be happy to adopt them out to you if you would like to take one home with you today, right? No? That's not what we talked about on the way up here. But Jonathan and Pastor Gabriel and I, we got the privilege of serving. I got the privilege of serving with them just for a little bit with Pastor Gabriel in a transition time before he moved up to this area and become youth pastor down there. And then a couple years later, Anna actually was in the youth group and actually as a youth leader, Anna Guy. And then Jonathan, as a good man does, he felt the love connection and decided to move down to Moffett Road down in Mobile. And the rest is history. Jonathan has been my closest friend. My youngest son is named after him. And so my accountability partner for several years, and just watching what God is doing in his life and his family's life, and it's been fun to watch. So that's just a little bit of background, but we're going to get in the Word. And I use a lot of Scripture because the Scripture preaches better than I do. And you'll see that, honestly. So 2 Corinthians 13:5, if you're taking notes, the title of the message is called The Bar. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, it says, "Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege to present your word. I do not take it lightly because your word is clear that it's a lamp unto our feet and to a light our path. And if we hide your word in our heart, Lord, your word says it lights a path and we won't sin against you. So I thank you for your word that brings life. It is the bread of life. It is nourishment to our souls. So as this word is presented this morning, let it be a breath of fresh air in the lungs of everyone in this room. In Jesus' name, amen. So I recently got back into lifting weights. When we moved up to Florence, Alabama from Mobile in March of 2018, Jonathan and I used to work at a place called Southern Fitness, and he left and left me high and dry, and I was by myself at that point. And so I stopped working out for a while, and you know what happens when you stop working out? You start getting out of shape, you start eating junk more, and you don't feel as good, and all these things. This began to happen, and we moved up to Florence, and one of the members of that church was a manager at a Anytime Fitness, and he's like, "Man, I got your membership covered." And I was like, "Praise God." Who likes free stuff? Yeah, I mean, I love free stuff. So he gave me a free membership, and so I took advantage of it. But towards the latter part of last year, I stopped working out, and that gym closed down. I don't know if the two go hand in hand, but the gym closed down, so I had to find a new place to work out. Well, lo and behold, less than a quarter mile from our house is a Planet Fitness now, just opened up. Now, listen. I used to judge Planet Fitness, even though it's a judgment-free zone. Like you can't make a sound in there without some kind of alarm going off on you. And it's like, anyway, that's a long story. So Heather and I signed up at this gym, and we walked in. It's super nice, brand new. And you walk in, and you see people trying to get in shape. This new year, January's coming around. People are re-energized, refocused about their health. And even now in February, beginning to see people begin to taper off in their health journey or their decision to lose weight or get in better shape. And it made me realize that oftentimes for ourselves, we set the bar too low. We set the bar too low. We start off with maybe higher expectations, but those high expectations, things become difficult and we realize, man, you know, if I start off easier, if I start off in my life something smaller, it might be easier for me. And then the bar is so low that we realize like we're not really seeing anything accomplished in our lives. The bar represents your walk with Christ this morning. So I'm not going to use a lot of weightlifting analogies. There'll be some in here. But it's really along the lines of the bar is, where is your walk with Christ this morning? You and you alone are responsible for your spiritual condition. Now, I love Pastor Gabriel and I love Pastor Jonathan and I love their families. They're wonderful families. And they are called to help shepherd and guide you and have the vision to take this church to heights. And just talking with them this morning, like he's got a clear vision God's given him for this congregation, for this church. And it's refreshing because so many leaders just go through the motions. And Pastor Gabriel and Pastor Jonathan are not those people. And from an outside perspective, I'm not saying that just because they're my friends, but just the conversations I've had with them, it is remarkable to see what God has done in this church up to this point. He was just sharing a minute ago about the financial miracles. Jonathan and I talked some, and I knew a little about those things, but really, like, until Pastor Gabriel was saying, like, this place, God has ordained this place to be a life-giving center in this community and beyond. God has willed this place through financial miracles and unfortunately, this church, the building at one point was empty for years, which is a sad sight to see a church empty. But God had a plan, and he's given Pastor Gabriel and Jonathan the vision, but your spiritual condition is not based on him. Your walk is not based on, well, Jonathan, God didn't sing my favorite song today. I'm sad. Or Anna, she, you know, Anna's more anointed, by the way. But Anna, you know, when she didn't sing, I'm kidding. That's a joke. And so, but like if your spiritual condition is based on Pastor Gabriel or Pastor Jonathan or anyone else, you're doing it wrong. Because as much as he brings a healthy word and as much as Jonathan brings an anointing set, worship list and set, like it's something that you've got to make the decision in your life that you're going to set the bar for yourself. Galatians 1, 6 through 10 says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Verse 10, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, Paul is addressing those in the church who have fallen into false doctrine because they have not set the bar for themselves. They are taking words of other people and they're applying it to their lives. So false teachers have popped up all over Galatia and Ephesus and all these other churches in that region in this time, preaching a different gospel than what Paul had addressed when he came to visit those churches time and time again on his journeys. And these people were just gullible because they relied on other ministers to enhance their walk. They relied on other voices to build their faith. When it's quite clear in Scripture that me and me alone is responsible for how I live my faith out. Just like you and you alone are responsible for your journey. So Paul is addressing these people and saying, listen, don't believe them. And if they preach a different gospel, let them be cursed. And that's a very strong statement Paul is making. Paul is addressing those in the church who are falling into false doctrine because of how weak their faith in Christ is. Their faith was not built on really what Christ and the doctrine of Christ, it was built on the teaching of man. Now, I'm not saying, like, we need to have strong theology. We got to have good theology. We got to have sound doctrine. And Pastor Gabriel has sound doctrine. He has sound theology. Like he was saying, he grew up in a great godly Christian home with a missionary and slash pastor dad and Pastor Mike. And so he knows theology. He knows good theology. But at times, when we rely on the doctrine of man, who knows that man can mess up, right? Who knows that sometimes we allow opinion to overrule theology, good theology. And opinion becomes theology in a lot of our lives. So we have to be careful. We have to be cautious to say, you know what? I am going to listen to Pastor Gabriel. I am going to submit to his authority. But if Pastor Gabriel's theology runs amok to the Word of God, then I've got to say, whoa, whoa. But you got to be careful that it's not your opinion instead of the scripture. So it's about, so you've got to set the bar for your walk. See, the lower the bar you set for your walk, the less faith you will be able to demonstrate in difficulty. Who in here has, maybe 2019 was not your best year? Raise your hand. 2019 was just it was not a very good year. Who in here has had seasons in life where it was a struggle just to make ends meet financially, or you felt like giving up, maybe in your relationship with God? Like I've been there. There have been seasons. 2019 was such a good year for our family, but it was also probably the most challenging year. I have a son who was struggling with school, and he struggling with reading, struggling with writing and focus and attention. And quite honest with you, there were times where people were just mentioning all these kind of conditions to us. And it was very, as a parent, it was very disheartening. And so finally, you know, the Lord told us, maybe was it last year? That when the Lord told us start every night, start anointing our kids when they slept. Last year, I just felt it pressed in my spirit. So the Lord said, take olive oil every night. And when they're sleeping, anoint them and pray over them, all three of them. It started off with just one of our children, and slowly but surely we began to see progress in his life. But 2019 was a hard year overall. Financially, it was a great year. God is getting us out of debt. God is doing these incredible things. But when it comes to your family, when your family's attacked, man, that's a whole nother animal. The enemy coming after us. And so we had a lady in the church. Man, she's a wonderful, God-fearing woman. She's a praying woman. And I tell you what, there are very few things stronger than a godly praying woman. And so this woman, she said, God gave her a dream about my child and said, I'd like the opportunity to pray over him. She had no clue. No clue. I didn't have a conversation with her about the condition. It was a very private manner. So I knew it was God at that point. And then at that moment, I knew God was speaking and trying to do something. So we brought him to the church. The lady prayed over him in my pastor's office. Now, just a little background. My son, at that point, was suffering with, like, really bad anxiety. Like, extremely bad anxiety. And he would lash out, and he would become very angry, and all these things. And it was heartbreaking to see. And he began to do that in that prayer time. And then something snapped. Immediately. Like, it was the most amazing thing. And I say that, I tell you that to tell you this. Yes, I'm a pastor. Yes, I get paid to preach the gospel. Yes, the youth and to help lead a church and a congregation. But my faith was tested last year. Our faith was tested last year. And I know at times your faith will be tested. And if your bar is set not on the theology of man or the opinions of man, but on what the Word of God says, then when your faith is tested, you will endure. You will persevere. And there's something to be said about persevering in your faith. The less faith you have in Christ, the greater chance to be led astray by the world's standards. When your faith is low, because your faith is built on the opinions and theology of man, because the bar is set so low, you have a greater chance of being led astray. So what do we got to do? We got to raise the bar. We got to raise the bar in our lives. Romans 12, 1 through 2, and this is a very common, it's one of my favorite scriptures. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, Paul is speaking bluntly to believers that every part of our existence is meant to please God and not man. We do so by strictly following the example Christ gave us. So what examples did Christ give us? All throughout the Gospels, what did Christ do? He went alone to pray, and then he was energized, and then he would have the authority given to him by his Father to be able to lay hands on the sick, see them healed. He had the authority to raise the dead. He had the authority to do all these signs and wonders. He had the authority to kneel down with the children. He had the authority to wash his disciples' feet. He had the authority to allow a woman of ill repute to wash his hair with alabaster, a perfume, and tears, and wipe his feet dry with hair. He had this authority to break the standard and break the norm of the culture of that day. And what did Jesus say about us? Greater things you will do in my name. And that authority. But how can we operate in authority when the bar is set so low in our lives? How can God really truly work inside of us if we're not living by his standards? If we're not applying the gospel to our lives? You see, repeating the same routine produces the same results. Now, Heather and I have been working out Planet Fitness for about 3 or 4 weeks now. I think they opened up in early January. And I love getting to work out with my wife. Like, we never got to do this before. Our kids were too young, and it was just one of those things. It never really happened. So now our routine is we take all three to school and we go straight to the gym. And I didn't think I'd love it as much as I do, but I love getting to work out with my wife. I just do. We have a routine. We set the routine on Mondays is ab day. We all love ab day. So we do 15 minutes of cardio, and then we do the abs. Tuesday is leg day. God knows that these bird legs can use some leg day. Wednesday is straight cardio day. So we go at it on the ellipticals. Thursday is what is Thursday? Hang on, help me out. What's Thursday? Yes, they have a circuit training thing that does the entire body. And then Friday is chest and arms and shoulders and all that. And Saturday is my rest day. And so I don't do much except go and get a massage at the massage chair there. So that's really nice. But so the routine is set. But if we get stuck in that same routine over and over again, the results, we won't feel it as much. We're feeling it now. But we got to begin to mix it up down the road. And the same thing applies with your faith and your journey. Repeating the same routine produces the same results. It's been said, insanity is repeating the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So in your journey, if you're doing it with Christ, if you're doing the same thing on your journey alone, and things become a routine, it can begin to lead down to just complacency. Well, routine can lead to comfort, and comfort can lead to complacency, and complacency leads to stagnation, and stagnation leads to self-reliance and lowering of the bar. So this is a journey that you and I are on. We're on a journey. And so different things come at us, and when we get thrown off our routine at times, we get uncomfortable, and no one likes to be uncomfortable. Like, I could tell you, like, I'm comfortable right now. The temperature's good. Good job, Pastor Gabriel. I feel really good. And so I'm comfortable now, but if I allow myself to be too comfortable, it can turn into complacency. And in ministry, just be candid moment with you guys, At our church, it became to a point where I was so comfortable because that's the church I grew up in. I was literally born, and then like a few weeks later, I was crying in the pews, and then at the church down in Mobile, and then I was saved in that church. I was baptized in that church. I was called into ministry at that church. All these things happened, and I knew the church, and I allowed the comfort of knowing people, of being known, of knowing every nook and cranny of that church to allow complacency into my ministry and in my life. And it led to stagnation. Just going through the motions. And in your life, when the bar is set too low, it leads to comfort. Now, I'm not the one. I feel like I'm underqualified to be talking about lifting weights with the man of God sitting right here. But Timothy, I heard you're beating him now on things. Good job, by the way. Way to teach the man, old man, some new tricks. But I know that when I start off with, like, on a bench press, I typically start off with maybe a 35 pounds or a plate, depending on how I'm feeling that day. But if I continue to do that over a period of time, unless I do a lot more reps, I'm just not going to feel anything. It's still exercise, but I'm not going to feel anything. And as I begin to add the weight, as I begin to add different elements, then I will see the increase in my life. And on your journey with Christ, the more you add with Christ in your life, the more of a routine of spending more time with him. I'm not saying there's a set limit. But spend more time with him. Of just listening to worship music and just soaking it in. Of going out and sharing the love of Jesus to someone at work. Of evangelizing and sharing your faith. Breaking the routines and the habits, you'll begin to see your faith increase and the bar of your life begin to raise. Now, we can't expect to go, I couldn't expect to go from 0 to 100 overnight. No, I've got to set the bar day by day in my life. And I got to continually and gradually raise it up. And the same goes with you. However, as our faith in Christ grows, our routines in Christ creates new life and growth in us and around us. Romans 12, 9 through 18 says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you." Oh, let me repeat that. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." Our country just needs that today. Oh my goodness. "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." And we can just all say amen to that verse. You see, raising the bar requires getting uncomfortable in your spiritual routine. It requires getting uncomfortable. I shared earlier, like, I don't have the most recent stats, but the stats are pretty low of just in America of you sharing your faith publicly outside these four walls. And I'm not trying to bring a condemnation or a condemning spirit. I just know that as Christ, as we grow in Christ and our love for Christ grows, we can't help but share the good news to those who are hurting, to those who are lost, to those who are broken. And the church of God must rise up in that regard because we have a solution that the world is searching for. So as we get uncomfortable in our faith, it's going to stretch us to do things that maybe we're not comfortable doing. I remember there was right before, it was probably 2 months before we left Moffett Road, the Lord had been dealing with me and Heather. We knew that there was a stirring and a time was coming that God was going to lead us away and away from my family, away from free babysitting, which is, free babysitting is amazing. And so, like I said, I like free stuff. And so it was a terrible summer. There was a lot of turmoil in the church, a lot of turmoil in the youth group, a lot of things going on that was just, I was just ready to get through the season of my life. And it was raining one day. It was a Saturday, and we had a meeting with a couple parents and a couple students, and some shenanigans had gone down, and just trying to put out these fires. And I remember in Mobile, it rains almost every single day, and God bless Mobile, but they need it. And so, like, it rains all the time down there. And I was driving, and I was heading home, and I got sideswiped by an old car. And the people that got out were, we'll just say they were a little rough around the edges, and didn't have insurance. I immediately was like, I was so frustrated. It was raining. I'm getting soaked. They don't have insurance. And the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. And he said, "I want you to ask them if they need me." Like, in the middle of the rain. And I was like, "No, God, I'm mad. They hit me and they don't have insurance. I got a big old dent in my car now." Like my flesh wanted to say no, but the Lord had been dealing with me. He'd been dealing with me about being more open as a pastor, even just publicly, you know, sharing my faith. And I did. And I got to pray for two individuals that day in the pouring rain. Well, little did I know, my old pastor drove by and he saw us, stopped. And I'm not saying to toot my horn, but it's like God will ask you to do things that make you uncomfortable. It was raining and it was miserable. And I was frustrated that they didn't have insurance. And now I got a dent in my truck and my Sequoia. And I'm just extremely frustrated about this. And the Holy Spirit said, pray for them. Now, I didn't see them at church the next day. I didn't see them anymore after that. And the point of the story is not to toot my horn, but God will use you at any point to make you uncomfortable. And as the bar is raised in your life, you've got to answer that call at any moment's time. And so the last point is don't compare your bar to others. We're all different. We're all in different parts of the journey. It's easy to say, man, I wish I was like Pastor Gabriel. I wish I had his wisdom. I wish I had his knowledge of scripture. I wish I had his leadership abilities. I wish I could sing like Jonathan Guy. I wish I had this. I wish. Don't compare your bar to others because we're all on a different part of the journey. I got a young man in my youth group. He's graduating this year and thank God. And he's a good kid. He's just really socially awkward and just extremely socially awkward. But he loves to work out. Like, he loves to work out, and he's built like me. So he is probably about 20 pounds lighter, and he's about an inch taller. But we had a young man come about a year and a half ago to our youth group. And the young man who came and visited, his name is Zach. And Zach is probably about 5'7", and he's like he probably takes some supplements, if you know what I mean. And he's very swole, and he's 18 years old at this point, and just about to graduate high school. And he's so swole. And so this young man, his name is William. I'm not gonna say his last name in case he might be related to some of y'all in here. He said, man, the only reason why you're that big is because you got shorter arms. And like, the kid's a first-time guest. And I'm like, bro, man, you can't be talking like that to this poor guy who's new for the first time. And so every time, Zach is now a part of our college ministry. He's a great young man. Just God is doing some work in his life, a miracle. His background is crazy bad, but God has turned him around through through the grace of God and through the church and just loving on him. He'll remind William, remember that time you told me that I'm only big because my arms are short? So William has an issue with comparing his size to others instead of being satisfied and growing in what God had given him. And so spiritually speaking, you and I, we can't compare our walks. We've all gone through different things. We've all had different hurdles we've had to cross. We've had different obstacles we've had to overcome. We've all been on a different journey. Now, it's good to aspire to be great. It's good to aspire to be like people. There are certain ministers, and they're like, if I could be half as eloquent, I would love that. But I'm not harping on it. I'm not comparing myself because God's given me gifts that they don't have, and God has given you gifts that Pastor Gabriel don't have, and so on. Romans 12:3-8 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as one in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. See, comparing your joy, comparing your bar to others robs you of the joy of what God has done in you. When you compare your bar, it robs you of the blessing that God has already given you. Each of you have something to offer God's kingdom. So don't settle, don't stagnate, and don't compare. Raise your bar. Raise your bar. We need spiritual spotters to help us elevate our walks in Christ. Now, Heather and I, we're not to the point where we're lifting all this heavy stuff and we have to have all these spotters. But I love the thought of a spotter, someone who offers accountability. Spotters are there to encourage you, to help you lift the heaviness of life and not let you quit. That's what Jonathan Guy was to me for all these years. He was a spotter. He didn't do the heavy lifting for me. He just encouraged me. And when I needed a little boost, he was there to give it to me. And on your journey, you need a spotter. To help raise that bar, you need people in your life that you can trust. People in your life that have good sound theology and doctrine who will point you in the right direction. So as you raise your bar, who is aiding you? Be selective in who you choose. If you're in here and say, man, like, I just need to raise my bar. I want to pray over you tonight. Will you raise your hand? Just take a step of faith and say, I need to elevate my bar tonight with Christ. Amen. Thank you. Lord, I thank you so much for those in this room who raised their hand, who had the faith to say, you know what, Lord, you're doing a work in my life. And I know that I need to take my game with you to the next level. So I ask that you give them the discipline, determination, the sound mind to be able to do what you want according to your will for them. Whether it's increasing their time alone with you, whether it's sharing their faith or whether it's giving more generously, whatever it is, God, that you are speaking to them to do, to raise the bar, give them the strength to do so. In Jesus' name.